This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, what I call the second half. It's actually like three quarters of the chapter, but I think of it as the second half. It is a chapter which has been a foundational chapter in my life. Just about everything in my faith and my Christian life and Christian ministry has been guided by the principles from John chapter 1. And I want to share some of those with you this morning and tell you what it means to me, what it means to our church, what I think it can mean to you as well. This is the last sermon in our series of How to Begin Again, but there is a little twist on it this morning because before we get to John chapter 1, I need to share with you two super important things that are happening in the life of our church as we move forward together in faith. The first is this, and if you're a visitor and this is your first time, you need to know we don't do this every Sunday, okay? The first thing is this. The elders of our church have asked Pastor Adam to step into a new position at our church, which we're calling the lead pastor role of River West Church. Now, if you've been around for a while and you are observant, you will have noticed that Pastor Adam has taken on, the last couple of years, he's taken on more and more leadership responsibility at our church. That is by design. It's part of our philosophy as a church. Our philosophy as a church has been to raise up leaders, to raise up pastors, and it's been awesome to see that happen. And indeed, we've had pastors that have gone out from River West Church that are now serving at other churches. One has planted a church, and it's great to see that happen and to see them go off and minister. But in Adam's case, we've decided that we really don't want to see him leave. We want to see Adam stay. And so, yes, amen. And so we've asked Adam to step into this role of lead pastor. And so what that means is that at River West Church, we now have a lead pastor and a senior pastor. Who's the senior? You can tell who the senior is, right? We have a lead pastor and we have a senior pastor. And that means that together, we will be sharing the leadership role at River West Church. We're going to be sharing and partnering in the leadership of the church. As lead pastor, Adam will focus primarily inside the church. And so Adam is focused on our staff, on our pastors, on the quality of our ministry, and he's giving vision to the church and all of those things. And that's actually what Adam has been doing already for a couple of years. I mean, that's basically saying that is not saying that anything's changed, because that's what Adam's doing. It's sort of like we're recognizing that and we're saying, you know, we value that. As senior pastor, my focus will be both inside and outside of the church. And so as we develop new ministry and new vision in the church, I'm going to be involved with that and partnering with Adam in the oversight of the church. But it also means that I will focus on ministry outside the church. And that for me means pursuing a calling of investing in raising up younger pastors and younger leaders, which is something that I actually already have been doing for the last several years. I want to tell you about an experience that I had when I was at Oxford on sabbatical. So I was over there and it was a great time. I just loved it. And I spent a lot of time in prayer and I began thinking about the future. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you have for me? I don't know the number of my days. God knows the number of my days, but the numbers are getting shorter, it seems. And so I'm looking at the timeline and I'm saying, God, what would you have me do with my years in serving Jesus? And I felt very strongly what the Lord said to me was, you know, I want you to invest what you've learned in the lives of younger pastors, in younger leaders. There's a new generation of leaders that's being raised up. Now, I've been involved in full-time ministry for 40 plus years, all right? That's a long time. And I've seen a lot of things. in my time. Planted two churches. I've had a lot of great experiences. And so I felt like God said, you know, you need to kind of leverage all of that for the kingdom. And so I'm super excited about that. That's already happening in Portland. That's really what, for me, what Rwanda is about. Christopher and I will be going in October and leading a seminar for leaders and pastors in Rwanda. And I'm super excited about that. That's really what Myanmar is about for me, is going and investing in a pastor who's investing in a pastor over there. And by the way, Nopum, we're hoping will be here in the middle of July. And so we decided, you know, we can't take the whole church over there, so we're going to bring him to us. So hopefully he'll be here, and we're going to strategize about ministry in Myanmar together and how we can support him, and you'll be hearing from him. I have been asked to teach at Western Seminary beginning in the fall, and so I'm going to be teaching a group of young pastors in the area of biblical theology for pastoral ministry. And which is, I'm super excited about. And it's a one day a month. So it's kind of crazy the way they do this, but it's like all day, you know, and all night type of a thing, one day a month for the year. And so I'm super excited about that. So the first thing is that Adam is becoming our lead pastor, but we have both a senior pastor and a lead pastor. The second thing I want to share is that we actually do have a long-term plan for leadership at our church. So when I came back from sabbatical, we sat down with our elders and we began to raise the question, so what happens if you just go off on sabbatical someday and then just walk away and never come back? You know, I have people in the church were saying like, you'll never come back, will you? We know this, we've seen this before. Pastors go on sabbatical, they just leave and they take off. So the question was, you know, what are we gonna do? Like, do we have a plan? And the answer was no, we actually didn't have a plan. Most churches don't have a plan. Most people don't have a plan, right? And so we decided to think about that. And we went through a one-year process together as a leadership team, praying, thinking, studying, talking to other churches, looking at the experience of other churches, other pastors. Just, we just had a blank slate. It's like, what should the future look like for River West Church? We came up with all these criteria, and who are we as a church? Where are we headed? All these various things. At the end of a year process, which was, to be honest with you, pretty intense, our elders decided that we feel that it's God's will to ask Adam to be the next senior pastor of River West Church. So after we went through that whole thing and we actually erased the board and we took Adam's name off the thing, we went through our thing and then we put it back on and we said, actually, this is the fit. This is a beautiful fit for us. And so when the time comes for me to step out of my role as senior pastor, we've asked Adam to be the next senior pastor of River West Church. So quickly, here's what that means. And then we're going to get to John chapter 1. Here's what it means. It means, number one, we actually do have a plan, which is a good thing. All right. Some of you didn't want to hear the plan. When I said last week, I have an announcement to make, people are like, I don't want to hear that, right? No, you actually do want to hear it because we actually do have a plan, and that's a good thing because a lot of churches don't, and that's a great mistake. Secondly, we now have both a senior pastor and a lead pastor, and this is going to be an awesome season for our church because it's going to allow both Adam and I to do what we do best, to do what we're called to do, to excel and to give our best effort to the life of the church and the life of the kingdom. Number three, our pattern of shared teaching is going to continue. So you probably noticed we have a teaching team here at River West Church. That is also by design because we want you to hear from more than one voice and more than one generation. And so we have a teaching team here, and primarily that's myself and Adam and Christopher on occasion as well. That pattern will continue. Currently, I teach about 60% of the time on Sunday morning, so that's not going to change. That will continue. This season of shared leadership between Adam and I will continue for the next several years. And then, when I step out of my role, Adam will step into that role of senior pastor. And people are saying, but wait, time out. What is several years? Like, what is several years? Several years. Several means more than two, but less than a lot. Doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like that? Several sounds like more than two, but less than a lot. Several sounds like more than two. It sounds almost like 3 years. It sounds something like that. So let's just leave it at that, shall we, at this point? And we need you to be with us in this. We need you to walk with us in this. And it's a great time in our lives. It's a great time for the church. It's a great time for the kingdom. I'm going to have Adam come up after I get done with John chapter 1 and share a couple thoughts with you, and then we're going to pray together as a church. But right now, I want to go to John chapter 1, and what I'm going to share from John chapter 1, my apologies to all of you who are new or visiting for all of that, but I want to share from John 1 because, of course, I knew what I was going to say about our future, and I wanted to share with you something that is guiding for my life. It's a guiding principle. Actually, there's three guiding principles that I'm going to bring out of John chapter 1. And if you get John chapter 1, and I'm going from this, like the second part of John chapter 1, if you get this, then you get me. Like you get my heart. And having said that, if you get this, then I think you also get River West Church. You're going to understand our church culture, because as the founding pastor of the church, and we started the church with like 10 people in a living room, right? So that which is a principle in my heart, I believe has sort of grown into the life of the church in some ways. And so I think you get the church if you get this. But I think beyond that, I think you get the heart of Jesus, because I truly believe that what I'm sharing here from John chapter 1, I believe this is the heart of God for the Christian faith, Christian life, Christian ministry. Three principles, and principle number one is this: it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Okay, where is that? It's in John chapter 1 in verse 19. If you want to see great things happen in your Christian faith, in your Christian life, or in your Christian ministry, you need to focus on Jesus and not yourself. It's about focus. Principle number one is about focus. Where's your focus? You got to focus on Jesus. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. John 1:19. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and he did not deny, but he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He said, "Nope." So they said to him, "Well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who had been sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ nor Elijah or the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And these things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now, this is out of the gate. This is John 1. This is actually the very first encounter. We're going to see the next verses. The first encounter of the first disciples with Jesus. This is early. This is new beginning stuff, all right? This is foundational. It's huge. And they come to John the Baptist. Why is this conversation recorded for us? Because it's important. It's not just historical information. It's because you need to know this. It's a principle of Christian faith and life and ministry. It's huge. And John the Baptist is our example. And they said to him, "Who are you? Who are you? What do you have to say about yourself?" And he's like, "Not much." "Not much." "Well, are you this?" "No." "Were you that?" "No." "Well, what do you have to say?" And he said, "I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice pointing to someone else. I am a voice pointing to Jesus. There is one standing in your midst. You don't know him. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He's the one. He will baptize in the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist says, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. This is something that I somehow learned early in my ministry. I'm not sure why I kind of learned this or it was impressed upon me, but somehow it just was. Throughout my ministry, I have sought to take the focus off of myself and put it on Jesus. That's been my goal, to do that. And that's hard when you get up here every week and you're in front, you know, and you're leading. That's hard to do. But that's my heart, all right? That's a guiding principle. Let's get the focus where it really needs to be. Now, here's what John said. Take a look at chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, that sentence is a stunning, beautiful, powerful statement about Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I mean, it's like he took the entire Bible, the entire Old Testament, and summed it up. And he said, there he is, the Lamb of God. And we know that when he speaks of the Lamb of God, like, we know where that leads, right? It leads to the cross of Christ. Because he took away the sins of the world on the cross. Here's what happened early in my ministry. I was trying to figure out how to do church, and everybody had a new book. You know, do it like this, do it like that. Well, these guys are amazing, they do that. And, you know, that's what pastors do. We're always geeking out about the latest craze, you know, what to do. And I kept reading the Bible, and as I'm reading the Bible, I just, suddenly it hit me. The power, all of the power is in Jesus, and all of the power is when we see Jesus for who he truly is. That's the power of the Christian life. That's the power of ministry. My job isn't to invent cool ways to do things. I have one job, and that is to do a good job of pointing out who Jesus is, really. That means lifting Christ up as the Christ of the cross, the one who died for our sins, to not ever back away from that. The Christ who is risen on the third day. And so if you've been around our church, you know, like, these are themes that we sort of like just, it's like on and on and on, right? And why is that? Because that's the power center of the Christian faith and life and ministry. If we focus on Jesus, amazing things will happen. Now, that's why John the Baptist, when they came to him, and later, you know, John's disciples said, hey, Jesus is baptizing more guys than you are. In John chapter 3, this happens. Hey, well, wait a minute now. Jesus has got more followers than you do. And you know what John replied? He said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's not about me. But you know what's weird? Jesus said about John the Baptist, I'm going to run out of time, so I can't quote all the verses. I'll just tell you that what Jesus said, you can find it in Luke 7, about John, he said, of those born of a woman, no one is greater than John the Baptist. He said, this guy is great. This guy is amazing. I mean, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, Jesus said that about him, but he didn't say it about himself. You see, there's kind of a principle there, isn't it? He just said, I'm focusing on Jesus 100%. And I love this. This heart is true of all of our pastors and elders. All of our pastors and elders at our church are like this. It's true. It's beautiful. It's one of the things I love about Adam. Now, hopefully when Adam gets up here later, he won't say, hey, everybody, I'm great. Right? I don't think he'll say that. Okay, because Adam's a humble guy. He's a humble Christ follower who wants to put the attention on Jesus. And one of the things that I love most about Adam is that he's focused on Jesus and not himself. And that is what we're about here at River West Church. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, all right? But it's not just Adam. It's really all of our elders, all of our pastors. This is an amazing group of people. I can say it, they can't. This is an amazing group of people. But you know what? There's a reason why we can work so well together in harmony. It's because there aren't egos involved. How many churches have we read about in papers or seen where all of a sudden you go, I think there's an ego problem down there. You know, it's like all the focus is on this pastor. I hear more about him than I do about Jesus. That's a problem. So it's a guiding principle, and it's what I've tried to do. It's what our church is about. I believe it's what Pastor Adam is about and all of our pastors, and I love that. I got to move on. Second principle is this. Come and you will see. Come and you will see. The second principle is about moving forward in faith into the future. Always. If you want to see great things in your Christian faith, life, ministry, you must always move forward. You can't look back. You got to keep going no matter what. Here's what happened. John chapter 1 in verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. He looked at Jesus as he walked by and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. And Jesus saw them following and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him. Well, there it is. Come and you will see. But if you want to see, you have to come. I mean, what if they said, "Well, no, we're not going to do that. We'd like a better explanation first. Could you just give us an address and we'll Google that and we'll meet you there later?" You know? "I'll check my day planner." No. Come. You must be willing to follow Christ into new territory in your life without having all of the questions answered first, or you will never see the glory of God in your life. You must move forward always in Christ. Now, that's been a life principle for me. Keep moving forward. I know it's kind of crazy, but, you know, I came to Christ at 19, and by 22, I was directing a Bible school. And it's wacky. It's ridiculous. I don't recommend it to anybody. But it's like somebody offered me, "Would you like to run this Bible school?" I'm like, "Sure." Yeah, how can I say no to that? Why not? Come and see. Let's go. Let's just see what happens, all right? And then at 25, moved to Medford to plant a church with 10 people. And I'm like, "I don't know what I'm doing, but come and see. Jesus said, here's a door, open it, just go do it." Okay, I'll go do it. 10 years later, we went from 10 people to 1,200 people, and we had a building and a staff, and it was kind of a cool deal. And I got up on a Sunday morning, and I told everybody, "I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm going north." And people said, "Why? What's wrong? Is your marriage falling apart? Is there secret sin? Is the church broke?" Like, everybody had all these list of questions. They're like, "No, none of the above. Everything is awesome." Well, then why would you do this? And there's only one answer. Because Jesus says, "Come and see." Jesus said, "Follow me. Go. There's something new on the horizon. There's something else to do." And that was when we moved north. And we landed in Portland. That's a longer story, but we landed in Portland. All right? And then so here we are. That was River West Church. And people are going to, you know, some people look at me and they go, "Well, what are you doing? Like, what's the matter? What's the matter?" I want you to know, I'm not dying, all right? I saw a guy with a t-shirt, "I'm not dead yet." I said, "I want that t-shirt." I'm not dying. I'm not burned out. I'm not retiring. Well, what are you doing? I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus and his call when Christ says, "I want you to invest your life in the lives of young leaders and pastors." That's what I'm doing, okay? It's a life principle. How about for you? How about for our church? You know, the story of our church has been come and see. It's like, you know, we've been from place to place to place to place, and it's a wacky story of just going, of just trying, of just seeing what the Lord would do. And it's been an awesome thing. And that story is not over. You can never play it safe. You play it safe and you're done, you know? You don't play it safe with Jesus. You just go and you follow him. And you know those disciples followed him. And he took him into some pretty scary places, you know? It's like, yeah, let's go out in the middle of the storm in the middle of the night. Yeah, let's go over here and see this demon-possessed guy and see about that. Yeah, let's go over here and talk to these Pharisees and leaders who want to kill all of us. Yeah, let's go. That was what they signed up for. Jesus said, come and see. I can't explain it all to you. Just come. Are you going to come? You see? And so this is a life principle. Now, why am I saying this to you? Well, I'm just trying to share my heart with you. Tell you about the heart of our church as well. So I see the coming season as an amazing time of sort of putting on the accelerator as a church, putting on the accelerator as leaders. And, you know, when that time comes for me to step out of my role as senior pastor, I'm not planning on leaving River West Church. Not like I'm going to keep going north. This is as far north as the boat goes for me. Like, unless Jesus says, Alaska, it's not going to happen. Anyway, my wife will leave me and then I will have a problem. My plan isn't to leave River West Church. Okay, so I mean, you know, if the elders want me, I'll still be a part of the teaching team here. It's going to be amazing. We're going to see what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, come and see. Let's come and see. Third principle is this, and this really is the best one. You've heard this phrase if you've been around our church for any length of time. The third principle is this, the best stories are yet to come. That's the third principle. The third principle is a promise. If you want to see great things in your Christian faith, life, and ministry, you will. You will. If you focus on Jesus, and if you follow him in faith with a come and see attitude, you will. Here's what happens. John chapter 1. Let's go to verse 47. And Jesus is calling disciples and all this amazing stuff is happening. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him. Nathanael's the guy who said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And I'm thinking, boy, Nathanael, that guy was an easy convert. You know, it's like, how do you know me? Oh, I saw you under the fig tree. You're the king. You're the Lord. There's got to be more going on than that. I'm not sure. There was something going on under the fig tree there that, you know, I'm not sure about what that was. But somehow Jesus knew what that guy needed to hear. And Jesus answered in verse 50, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Son of Man, of course, is Jesus. It's one of his many titles. It's a messianic title from the Old Testament. The heavens open and angels ascending and descending, of course, is a reference to the book of Genesis where Jacob goes out on the run for fear of his life because his brother wants to kill him. Sons of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob now is running. I mean, the guy's in a hard place. It's like calamity. Everything is going wrong in his life. And he lays down in this place, uses a rock for a pillow, and he dreams. And he sees heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on this ladder. And he says, oh, God is in this place, and I didn't even know it. How awesome is this place? God is here. And he called it Beit El, or Bethel, which means the house of God. This cave, this nowhere place. He said, God is here. That's what Jesus is referring to. It's a beautiful, amazing, powerful picture. Jesus said, here's a promise. You're going to see greater things than this. And with that launches the Gospel of John. It's so powerful. Because then you read that, you go, I want to read on and see. What are the greater things that we're going to see? The whole gospel is a catalog of the greatness of Jesus. We see great things, but it's not just great stories. What we see is the greatness of Jesus. Now, in our church, we often say the best stories are yet to come. And that was a phrase that I instituted at our church because I was wary of us looking to the past. You know, sometimes churches get stuck on their past.
I remember the good old days. Sure, it's amazing. Remember that?
And so I'm like, nah, we don't want to be that church. So no matter what we ever celebrate or no matter whatever we say, great story, I always say, yeah, but the best stories are yet to come. That's the truth. And the best stories are not just stories about people's lives. They are, but mainly it's stories of where we see Christ at work. We see Jesus. I've seen Jesus at work in our lives, in our church. I've seen Jesus. And that's my life quest, is to see Jesus. I want to stand before Jesus in glory. I want to see the face of Jesus. That's my quest. So anytime I can see, like, the hand of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, oh, I didn't even know he was here, but he was, that's what I want to see. And so it's a promise. It's a promise. It's beautiful. So it's not about me or you. It's about Jesus. You got to move forward. Come and see. The best stories are yet to come. Jesus isn't finished yet. Let me tell you about one other thing. When I was in Oxford, my mentor over there, Richard McCollum, at the Center for Islamic and Christian Studies, he said, I'd like you to come with me to my church on Sunday, St. Ebbs. And I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, it's kind of an interesting Sunday. Our pastor is, this is his last Sunday. He's been at the church for 25 years. It's going to be his last Sunday. I'm like, okay. So I went to the church, and this pastor's up in front, and he's sharing. And the guy was amazing. It was so beautiful. He was just so filled with the Holy Spirit. It was just great. And I wandered to the back of the church, and they had a table out there. And on the table, they had like what looked like a chart. It looked like an Excel spreadsheet, but it was like written in an ancient script. And I looked at it, and I realized it was a timeline. And there were columns, and it started in 1100 A.D., 1100. That church that I was in was built in 1100 AD. And I'm looking at it and I realize it's a list of names. And then I realize what they've done is they've brought out the list of pastors for 1,000 years. Like column after column after column. And then this guy up here in front, the last guy on the thing, and then like a blank slate for the next guy. Next. And I tell you, I looked at that and I went, that is so different than the way we do it here. You know, it's everything's a startup church, and if it didn't start a year ago, it's not cool, you know. And I'm like, boy, these guys have got a whole different deal. And as I looked at the row after row after row of names of pastors, I thought, you know what's cool? I mean, I'm sure all these people were amazing people, but in the end, there's only one name that matters. It's the name of Jesus. It's the only name that matters. And our job in our slice of time that we have is to do our best to point to him, to follow him as best we can, to look for him, to see him. That's what we do at our church. And I'm excited to continue doing that with you. And so I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to have Pastor Adam come up and share a couple thoughts. And then we're going to actually have a pastor and an elder come and say a prayer. So let me pray. Our Father in heaven, I'm so deeply grateful for your story in my life experience, your faithfulness, Lord. And not only to me, Lord, but to this church. What an awesome, awesome work that you've done and are doing and will be doing. Lord, as we listen to your word, you anchor us once again in truth. And I pray, Lord, that your truth would be the thing, Lord, that's at the top of our minds at all times. Make us strong in faith, Lord. Strong in hope, strong in love, I pray. May we live the principles of your word, Lord. May we live them well. And I ask now, Lord, for your help and your grace as we move forward together, Lord, because it's a come and see moment, Lord. We just have to see what you'll do, Lord. And I pray that we can do it together, that we can walk together. Bless now, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Adam.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Thank you, Guy, for such an encouraging message, so Christ-centered. What do you say after that? Right? Especially if you're me. What do you say? By the way, my name is Adam, so if you're new to the church, I'm Adam. Nice to have you. Welcome. And what I want to do, very simple. I want to share my heart with you this morning. And I prayed a lot about how to do that. How could I share my heart? And what I really, it became super clear early on this week that what I really want to do is I want to talk to you about three things. I want to talk about my love for the church, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my calling to ministry, and then I want to tell you a little bit about my excitement for the future. So Kathy and I and our girls came to River West 10 years ago, this July 1st. It'll be 10 years we've been at River West Church, and it's been an incredible, incredible journey. And a lot of amazing things have happened in that time, friendships with Guy and other pastors and with so many of you. But maybe the most significant thing that's happened to me in that time is that God has given me such a passionate love for this church, not just any church, but this church. And it's not just me, it's my wife, Kathy, it's my girls. We love it here. This is our church home. We love worshiping here. This just feels like the place that we want to be. And I was reflecting on this morning, and it dawned on me, I realized, you know, if I wasn't a pastor, I would want to worship at this church. I feel like that says something, you know? And specifically, I would want to worship at this service with you guys. You guys are like the cool kids, okay? So I would want to worship at this church with you. That, I think that that is really significant. And the other thing that has happened for me over these years is that God has really confirmed in my heart a calling to ministry. I feel called to ministry. I feel called specifically to minister in Christ's church, and I feel called specifically to minister at this church, at River West Church. And I want you to know that when the elders asked me to agree to this, if I did not feel called by God, I would have said, no way. There's no way I will do it because it's daunting and humbling and honoring and exciting all at the same time. And I want to know for sure God has laid this call on my heart and my life. And here's the third thing I want to tell you about. I want to tell you about my excitement for the future. And, you know, really, I couldn't even find all the words to express to you how excited that I am about the future. The future is so bright. Guy talked about it. It was like the perfect segue into what I wanted to say. The best stories are yet to come. We believe that. You know, that has been the way that we have operated as a church all along. We're always a future-oriented church. That's how we operate. Did you know that the name River West Church comes from a passage in the book of Isaiah where God reveals himself as a future-oriented God, a God who is always about doing something new? What is the next thing that God wants to do? And that passage was so powerful in the formation period of the church that the church was named River West because of the language that came from Isaiah 43. I want to just read a couple of phrases. You can just listen to this. Here's how Isaiah said it, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And it was this idea of God doing something new in a desert land that was like a river carving through dry land. And that became a metaphor of the vision that we wanted for this church. God always doing something new, always pushing the life and the joy and the splendor of Jesus into new territory, new places. And I want you to know that that's what I see for the future of our church. And I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited to be a part of it. And I'm excited for you to be a part of it. I have a lot of reasons to be excited. I'll tell you just two. The first reason is we have an amazing team here. It's a joy to team with Guy. He's become one of my best friends. I love him. I love partnering with him. It's a joy to team with the elders. We have this incredible team of elders, and they are some of my very best friends. It's a joy to team and partner with all of the pastors at the church, Marianne and Christopher and Eric and Mike, and I could go on. It's a joy to be in team with our staff. And then the team spreads out to you, so many of you, lay leaders and ministry leaders. And I want you to know that the power of the teamwork at the church makes me so excited about the future. And here's the last thing I'll share, and then I want to take you to a passage of scripture. I'm excited about the future because I believe that God has strategically positioned this church both geographically and spiritually to radically transform the culture of our community. I believe that with all of my heart. And I chose all those words carefully. God has positioned our church both geographically and spiritually to change this community. You know, many churches have amazing real estate. They have an incredible spot on the side of the road, but they never have an impact because the power of Christ-focused, Christ-centered, gospel-empowered preaching is not at work in that church, and there's no impact. And then there are churches that are gospel-focused, gospel-centered, and the place where they're positioned just limits the ability that they have to impact their community. And think about where we are, River West. Think we are stone's throw from schools, junior high school, elementary schools, and most importantly, it's not just our geography, it's what's happening in our church. The power of the gospel focused on Christ. That's never going to change. Never going to change. Amen? I want to show you what Paul said about it. So I'm going to close with a passage of scripture. Will you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians and let me read a verse that resonates with me, and I think it's going to resonate with you. And it's a verse about our future. In the book of 1 Corinthians, one of the things that Paul was driving home, especially in the early chapters, was that there's only one thing that has the power to change people's hearts. And that thing is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. Only the message of the cross has the power and the wisdom to transform human hearts. So no one will ever be transformed by human beings, our personalities, our ingenuity, our resources. It would never be enough. The only thing that has the power to change people is the message of the cross. And that's why in chapter 2, verse 2, here's what Paul wrote. And I love this. It's a verse that means so much to me. He wrote them and he assured them, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The reason that I'm excited about the future is because we're not going to focus on anything or talk about anything or do anything unless that verse is right at the center. We're gonna talk about Jesus Christ. We're gonna talk about the significance of his death. And we're going to talk about the power of his resurrection, and we're never going to stop until he comes back to take us home. Amen? So I'm excited, and I'm excited, and I'm humbled. I'm a little nervous. I also like what Paul said next. You see that he's, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I like that statement too. But here's the thing. Just like you, I have my hope in a risen Savior. And my eyes are fixed on him. And let's just keep doing that, okay, River West? Amen? Amen. Guy, will you come and then?
We're going to have Christopher, Pastor Christopher, come up. Daniel Harkavy, one of our elders, is going to come. I think the worship team is going to come up while we're saying a prayer. I've asked these guys to come up and just to stand with us and to pray with us. This is, you know, part of the team here, and we love these guys, and we know that we're loved by them. So, Pastor Christopher and Daniel, they're going to say a prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, it's just appropriate in this moment just to stop and to give you thanks. Lord, together as a community, we have seen you do great and marvelous things, Lord, in our midst. And Father, all of the praise belongs to you. None of us, Lord, have been responsible for advancing your kingdom. If any hearts have been changed, it's because you've poured out your Spirit. We're standing in this place because it's an answered prayer. And evidence, Father, that you are building your church, and Christ truly is the cornerstone that every good work rests on. And so, Father, we thank you because we've been reminded, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It doesn't come from below. And we haven't made anything, Lord, of eternal impact happen over the years. And so, Father, thank you for the way that you've been so faithful to us. You've just generally supplied everything that we've needed up until this point, and we trust that you'll provide everything that we need for the chapters ahead. Give us greater faith. Give us eyes to see, Father, the dreams that you have in store for us as a community, Father. We want together to have a legacy of faithfulness to Jesus, Lord. So thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done and for what's ahead, Lord, in these years.
And Lord, I come to you as well with an incredibly grateful heart, grateful for what you're doing in the lives of my brothers here. Lord, over the last decade, we have seen your hand at work in both of their lives. And what comes to me this morning, Lord, is that we need to continue to be about you in how we stir up love and good works. Love and good works. So I pray for Adam as he continues to grow, as he continues to take on more responsibility, as he continues to pursue you so that he can be used by you in the lives of all of us here at River West. May the outcome be, Lord, that we walk with you in ways that cause this world to know that you are alive by how we love and do good works. Lord, that is it. So I pray for immense favor on Adam as he leads and as Guy leads and as he expands his territory, as he continues to work with Adam and work with us, but also work with many young church leaders, Lord, not just here in Portland, but around the world. I pray for favor. May he be just fuel and confidence and courage and wisdom to these pastors so that they may lead in ways that cause you to get the fame, so that the parts of the world, the parts of Portland, the parts of the U.S. that they operate in, people would see you as a result of love and good works. So Jesus, you are a king. You're at the center, and we ask you for protection. We ask you that you would protect this body, all of our staff, all of our pastors. We pray for continued unity, for just absolute openness and transparency as we walk forward looking for stories, Lord, that are going to bring you fame and that are going to cause us to see that you're not done and that we're here right now positioned for more amazing things to take place in the years ahead. So we pray for favor and we want to bring you glory. Jesus, your King. Amen.
Amen.